In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. And I want to remind you tonight we'll be at the Espousal Retreat House. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of September. And tonight the Eucharist will be celebrated for all those wayward brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, nieces and nephews who are away from the Lord. And we will celebrate the Eucharist for them. And I got that inspiration from St. Augustine. As Monica continued to pray for Augustine, he was completely converted by the Holy Spirit as he opened the Word of God. So tonight, you're welcome to come. We continue with revival, 7 o'clock tonight. Bring your flags, bring your, please, pots and pans. We need pots and pans. Bring them. Tambourines, castanets. We're there to worship God. It is our vocation to worship and praise the Lord. I'll talk more about that later. I'm looking at the letter to James today, and you know the first verse kind of caught me. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's very easy to say I am a servant. It's another issue to be a servant. Now, I do know Jesus on the night before he died said, "I do not call you servants, I call you friends." And I know that to be true, that he calls me a friend. But, you know, I must be at his beck and call. I must be at his beck and call. He is not at my beck and call, even though he is at my beck and call. He chooses to be. But, you see, I am called to serve him. I'm called to serve him. My service is unto the Lord and unto his people. That's why worship is the greatest service we can render unto God. Worship is the greatest service we can render unto God. And we do not realize that. That to worship the Lord is the greatest service we can render. For the Lord is first in our worship. The Lord is first in our worship. And you know, our ministry is not to people, but to God first. It's very interesting. Because, you see, we can become so people-oriented. Even some of the prayers in the sacramentary make me cringe. Lord, fill us with love so that we can love each other. Well, you see, I don't mind loving each other. That's in this week's prayer. Something like that. I don't mind loving each other. Lord, fill me with love that I can love you and love each other. Because you see, my service is unto God first, not unto you. But you see, if I have my service unto God and I'm worshiping the Lord and I'm surrendering my life as a living sacrifice of praise to the Lord, then I will serve you and I will love you. That's the way it is. But you see, it's very easy to get humanistic. You know, we do good things. I'm telling you, the good things that we do are because we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. We need to do good things, but good things are only good when God is our focal point and Jesus is our life. It's not that we go and feed the poor alone. We go and feed Jesus on Saturday. It's Jesus out in the streets on Saturday. For as often as you do this to the least of my friends, you do it unto me. I was in prison, you came to visit me. I was going to have an abortion, and you were there praying. Not that God would have an abortion or Jesus, you know what I'm saying. Let's every phrase has a limp. But you see, it's unto Jesus, unto God the Father, that our worship and our praise and our attention is first, not unto people. Now, if we are really worshiping God, and we are really servants of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are really his friends, then he will send us to other people. And that's the way it is. And I long to be with other people. I long that young people hear the word of God. I long that people that are on their way to heaven or hell hear the word of God as I pray with them. I long for things like that. But first of all, my service is unto the Lord. And you can rest assured, if your service is unto the Lord as a servant and as a friend, He will send you to other people. Because then you've got something to give. Then you've got something to give. I know so many people that, you know, they were going to be the saviors of the world. They were going to enter the inner city and they were going to help the inner city people. And they were, you know. And you know what they gave up? They gave up prayer. So as a result of giving up prayer, you know what happened? They lost focus. They lost focus. I'm going to tell you, I know poor people are very, very grateful. But I'm also going to tell you, when you're dealing with people that are mentally sick, they can drain you. They can drain you. If you don't have a life with God, you're not going to be able to help anybody. If you don't have a prayer life, you're not going to help anybody. And you burn out. People say to me, how have you lasted since 1968? I'm going to tell you how. Because I am so weak, I cannot do anything on my own power. I feel my own weakness. I feel my own inability. Every day I carry along my flesh, and I know that my Lord, my weakness have kept me here. Holding on to Jesus, my weakness, not my strength. And then, because of my weakness, I've called out unto the Lord and say, I can't do it without you. I have nothing. What can I give people? I've got nothing to give myself. So beware of praying away your weakness. Maybe someday I'll have it so good by grace that I won't need this weakness. You know, the thing I consider a curse right now might be the greatest blessing in my life. But you know what? Whatever it is, it causes me to cling on to Jesus. And we're called to love Him first and then be servant. To be servant of God and servant of Jesus and then servant of people. Now that's a full time vocation. We're not talking about, you know, I'm going to teach CCD. We're not talking about I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. No, no, no. That's a full-time vocation to be present to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be present to people. And sometimes it's very tiring. Sometimes it's very tiring. Sometimes just want to say, give it up. But you know what? The Lord causes us to keep on moving if we have a life with Him and to keep on blessing people. Let me just tell you, this radio ministry could by itself be the only thing that I do because it's that powerful. All right? So I could, in all reality, just do this and not do anything else. But you know what? I can't live like that. I can't live like that. Because, you see, God calls me to get my hands dirty. You see, when I'm doing radio, I'm not getting my hands dirty. I'm doing radio, you know, I'm speaking to you, and I speak out of my own experience. I do. But you see, you get your hands dirty when God's messy people come in. And you start realizing you're just as messy as they are. And how much you need Jesus Christ just as much as they do. You see what I'm saying? It's messy. You know, when the Lord Jesus became a human being, my Lord, that was His biggest risk. When the Word of God became a human being, because you know what? He entrusts Himself to us, to His church. And we can mess things up royally. When He entrusted Himself to Peter and the apostles, my Lord, it was the biggest risk. biggest risk in trusting himself and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the sacraments to fallible people. What a risk. But yet he told us, I will be with you always, even unto the consummation of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And somehow the Lord loves to entrust himself to weak, fallible people. And you know, many of us have betrayed him. Not only Judas. Not only Judas. I tell you, I will never make fun of Judas. You know why? I am not dead yet. Many have betrayed the Master. One day kissing him on the cheek, and the next day turning their back on him. I can never, never make fun of Judas. Never. You know why? I'm not dead. And I don't put anything past me. Nothing. If I were not graced, I'd listen. So Judas is not the person that I would make fun of, believe me. I have better things to do than to make fun of Judas. I pity the poor man. And I pity those people who have betrayed Jesus. And they're afraid to turn back. You see, Jesus would have accepted him back. In the garden when he said, friend, he called him friend. What have you come here for? Giving him a last chance. Do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Friend. You see, maybe you've betrayed the Son of Man. It's time to come back. Don't be like Judas. Don't be like Judas, because he's waiting for you to come back. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He'll receive you with open arms. Don't be like Judas, thinking that you will never be forgiven. Don't flatter yourself that much. You are not that important that you will never be forgiven, because his love is greater than your betrayal. And his love is greater than my betrayal. That's not that we betray the Lord. But if we have betrayed the Lord, his love is greater than our betrayal. His love is greater than your abortions, plural. His love is greater than your whatever. Because he never rejects anyone. And then we start again. We start as servants of the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Servants of God and of Jesus Christ, servants of God by grace. To be his servant is a grace, believe me. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're not his servant, you're somebody else's servant, or something else's servant. That's real. Connie Francis used to have this song. Every once in a while I sing it. Everybody, somebody's fool. Whose fool are you? Everybody's somebody's fool. Honest. You might be the fool of your bank account, of your boss, of your reputation. Everybody's somebody's fool. Whose fool are you? Everybody's somebody's servant. Whose servant are you? If you are in continual sin, you are a slave of sin. Just like that, you can be forgiven. That's why we have the sacrament of reconciliation. You can be forgiven. But you see, you have to break with these things by grace, and it's all by grace. You don't do it on your own. I need the grace to break with these things, because you know what? I cannot do it on my own. Are you a slave and fool of shame? Oh, I know people that are fools of shame and slaves of shame. I've had people come to me, you know, and the terrible things that they've said, what they did, and you look at their face, they cannot even look at you. And you know what I say to them? Look in my eyes. Just look into my eyes right now. Please, look into my eyes. And I look into their eyes and I say, I'm not ashamed of you. I am not ashamed of you. And the Lord is not ashamed of you. He is not ashamed of you. We need to continue on. We need to break with this. But you being ashamed that you can't even look at me, what good does that do? It brings you back to do it again, whatever it is. Shame? It's of the devil. So I tell them, look into my eyes. Don't you dare turn your face away from me. I am not ashamed of you. And if I'm not ashamed of you, I just am a creature. The Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed of you, and he wants to help you through this mess, because that's his nature. It's just real. It's just, you can be the fool of shame, the slave of shame. What good does it do you? It doesn't do any good. It'll only cause you to do it again, whatever it is. It'll only cause you to live a life that's unrighteous. I'm not ashamed of you. You say, Father Tom, if you ever knew what I did, my friends, I have heard it all. I have heard it all. There is nothing I have not heard. Believe me. And you know what? I could even do worse without grace. I cannot stand in judgment of another because, you know, I'm not dead yet. But his grace is sufficient. Even if you don't feel it, his word tells us his grace is sufficient and more than sufficient. Where sin abounds, grace superabounds, you know. And the Lord doesn't turn his face from you. The Lord looks into your eyes with compassion. I remember once I had been running away from the Lord. Oh, I had been running away from the Lord. And in running away from the Lord, I went someplace. I went to Walmart. And the very thing that caused me to run away from the Lord was staring me right in the face. And you know what the Lord spoke to me in Walmart? He says, I love you in your sin. He didn't say, I love your sin. I love you in your sin. Oh, yeah. Do I sin? Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't? But I don't want to live in sin. And I don't want to walk in sin. And I don't want to entertain sin. But he was not ashamed of me. He was not ashamed of me. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's Jesus the Lord. And if he's not ashamed of me, he's not ashamed of you. As I said, I've heard it all. You name it, I've heard it. But I get people to look right into my eyes and no condemnation is in my eyes. You know why? Because if I condemn them, then I condemn myself. But I call them out of the pig pen, which is sin. Let me tell you that that prodigal son was a son and not a slave. And yet he never returned home until the pig pen did its job. You know, he was wallowing in mud and garbage and manure and smells, and he was a Jew. But when the pig pen did its job, finally, he said, my father's slaves are treated better than this. Sometimes you've got to let the pig pen do its job, but then it's time to turn around to father. It's time to get back. You've been in the pig pen too long now. You've been in the pig pen too long. You've been in the garbage, the mush, the crap, call it what you will. You've been into it. You've been putting it on your face. You've been shamed. You've been everything. It's time to return to Father, you know, as a servant. But he'll say, and Jesus will say, I call you no more servants, but friends. That's the way he is. But then you serve him anyway. You serve him anyway by worshiping him. You serve him anyway by worshiping him. By surrendering your life as a living sacrifice of praise, then you serve your brothers and sisters as if you were serving Jesus. How many people listen to me that is so into shame, so into guilt, so into torment? Oh, yeah. It's the devil's play. It's his music. Shame, guilt, and torment. He plays that tune. And people think it's God, that God shames us, God torments us. No, that's the devil's tune. And the Father's arms are open. The pig pen has done its work. It's time to return to God. It's time to return to Christ. It's time to become a worshiper again. It's time to surrender again. It's time, it's time, it's time. Don't wait another day. Why should you? He's beckoning you back. Do you think that the prodigal went home on his own power? It was the Father beckoning him back. And the Father is beckoning you back. Don't be so arrogant and think you're not worthy when the Father loves you with so much love. Don't be so arrogant. Oh, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the church could have changed the world in the year 500 if every Catholic person, because it's all they were servants of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends of God and friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we still can do it. We can change the world. But the change begins with you and me. It's an internal change. It's a change that only the Spirit can evoke. My Lord, never thought I'd go this way today as I was reading these couple of lines. This was not the way I intended to go. But, you know, that's the way I went. Because I tell you, preaching has a life of its own if you're led by the Spirit. It has a life of its own. And I just have to follow what God is saying because He knows who's listening. And also, if this is taped, He knows who's going to be listening on the tape. You see, this is God I'm talking about. This is not the man behind the sheet in The Wizard of Oz. This is God. Come home. Come home. Tonight we will be at the Espousal Retreat House. And it is the night we're praying for our children, our grandchildren that are lost, that have forgotten the Lord. Tonight, we pray for those people. We pray that God, by His Holy Spirit, would move. It's a day to fast, too. To fast before you come. Yeah, to fast on something. So that we come a little hungry. So that we come a little prepared to pray for the lost. And we never look down on the lost, you know. We never look down on the lost. But we look up to Jesus and His grace, who wants to draw them to Himself. That's who we look to. You don't look down on the lost. You look to Jesus, and you look into His eyes, and He beckons the lost, because the best thing about being lost is being found. There's nothing good about being lost, other than being found. And tonight we're going to pray for that at the Eucharist, and we're going to believe that the Lord, through our prayer, is going to draw Augustines to Himself, and Augustinettes. So you come tonight at the Espousal Retreat House. We continue revival at 7 o'clock. If you can't make it at 7, come when you can. Some people come for the last call. You know, they tell me in bar rooms they have the last call at about whatever time. They come for the last call at the end when the power is really saturating the place. Last call, last call. I tell you, come as much as you can, because there's the power of God working in that place, and we want to see it. We want to see the Holy Spirit do what only the Holy Spirit can do. We've been experiencing this since July. We have experiencing new life. We've experiencing new power, experiencing new miracles. We've experiencing new presence of God. And you know what? It's time. It's time to return. It's time to return. Tonight at the Espousal Retreat House, we'll be there at 7 o'clock. Come when you can. And we will be there tomorrow on Thursday at 7 o'clock and Friday at 7 o'clock. Come, come, come. Because you know what? We're continuing to praise God. Remember what I said. Our first vocation is to worship. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And the Espousal Retreat House, their telephone number is 781-209-3101. 781-209-3101. I hope the pig pen has done its job. Return back to the Father. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.